I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome. Whoops. I want to praise and thank God for the gift of each of you. And I want to praise and thank God for this hour being together today. I will remind everybody at the top of this program, since last week I have had an issue and I've not been able to take incoming calls. So Frank, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. And anybody else that would tend to call in, we have ordered the part. We needed, the part's already been ordered. George and Frank worked on it over the weekend, and the part's been ordered. It should come in within a week. So I probably still won't be able to take calls Tuesday. The piece will probably get here tomorrow. The order was placed yesterday. So again, as much as I love to receive your phone calls, I won't be able to receive them probably until Thursday of next week. So I might get surprised and it might come in early, but that's what they're telling us, probably next Wednesday. And so anyway, I want to praise and thank God for each of you. I had no doubt that you all would be praying, that whatever the issue was, it would be resolved, and it has been. So today, of course, only having the 1 hour, I usually don't open the phone lines even on the 2 hour program until probably halfway through the program. So I praise and thank God that it looks like this is the problem and it will be resolved. And I just said I really need an updated system. I also, you know, where I can also bring somebody on from out of state or out of the country and have a split screen where you can see the people that are calling in as well as talking to them. And I believe that will come. I don't know when, but I believe it will come. The Lord laid that on my heart when I first went to live streaming. But everybody, I asked about the equipment I have. Dennis and George, everybody. With this equipment, I'm limited. I'd have to get a different kind of a setup to be able to do that split screen where you could be myself as well as whoever was my guest that day or guest of one of the other programmers, a radio host. So at any rate, hopefully by next week, on Wednesday, so it probably won't be in and fixed by Tuesday, but by Thursday, should be up and running, and you should be able to get your phone calls in. Again, I just I want to praise and thank God and wish all of you a beautiful beginning of this new year and the beautiful gift of Christmas, as we're in Christmastide. And of course, Christmas is 50 days. So Merry Christmas to those of you that I haven't said it to before. And a beautiful, blessed, holy, healthy, and happy new year, filled with peace and God's choicest blessings. So again, I'm most grateful for your all the beautiful ways that you impact my life. And Vicky, if you're listening today, and you know who I mean, Vicky, Victoria, Vic, I'm sorry I didn't get to you. I went out twice without my telephone, which is, then I got like 150 phone calls afterwards when I get back and get it. But I will see you tonight, God willing, and I'll try to reach you after the program. So to all of you, I praise and thank God that you are my evangelist. You know how wonderful that is to know that this my beautiful team of evangelists, that it's you. It's my listening audience. It's each and every one of you who are watching live. And in this day, in this time, there is an urgency to get busy and reach out and preach and teach the gospel wherever we go. And more by who we are, more by our example and our witness. I mean, St. Augustine says it best, doesn't he? Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And this world really needs, and I will say this, this world also is receiving a new outpouring of the Spirit of God on the young people. I see it all the time. And these young people are stepping into grace, and they're not abashed. They're filled with holy boldness, and they are convicted and committed to the gospel. And so many young Catholic groups are rising up of young adults, and they're very, very active, deeply immersed in prayer and the sacramental life of the church. So we are mightily blessed. We are mightily blessed. I just want to share with all of you today that I misspoke on Tuesday's program. I received a message from a good friend of mine, and he's very good friends with Ralph, Monsignor Chifo, and he sent me this message, and I was inquiring why I couldn't get a hold of Ralph's sister to see how he made out in the surgery, because obviously I couldn't contact Monsignor. He was in surgery. And inadvertently, somehow, I don't know how, but my friend texts me back, "Oh, Kath, I'm so sorry, sadly." And I was just at her mass a few days ago. She passed away suddenly. I was so shocked. I was so taken back. But here, that isn't accurate. She actually passed several months ago. And so I want to apologize to anybody that was listening, because that was not accurate. Terry passed away several months ago, but nonetheless, it didn't make it any less a shock to me. So Terry was... Those two together, Terry and Ralph, I mean, beautiful to behold, but very funny together. So, and Monsignor Chifo is doing well. I just want you to know that. and just to continue to pray for a complete, full recuperation for him. Also, I want to praise and thank God for a man I went to pray with today. Actually, I prayed with two men today, but in particular this man. His name is Joe, and I was asked, would I please go over and pray with him? He has ALS, and let it just suffice to say he's in the very last stages of that. And his name is Joe, and I would ask that you keep him and his lovely wife in prayer. And it was one of his former classmates at LaSalle College that reached out to me while I was doing Maria Middleton's retreat. And he asked me if I would be so kind to come to the house and pray with Joe. And of course I said yes. So the date was set up for today, and I went to visit their home. And I could communicate with him when he was awake by the blinking of his eyes, yes, or you know, one for yes, two for no. And I just really believe in my heart and soul that he really and truly, I have my eyes closed, but I prayed over him with a true a relic of the true cross, tiny piece of the cross in Latin, it's sealed, and I just, I prayed over Joe today with that relic, and I also prayed for the intercession of my little vessel of grace, Maria Middleton. So again, I'm always in awe of what God has done and is doing in my life. And it gives me reason to pause and to really thank God for what he has called me to, what he has sent me out to do. Because it's all him. Apart from him, I could bear no fruit that would last. But I tell you this, he works with what he's got. And you're looking at her in my place. He works with what he has. And just like any other good surgeon, he needs instruments that he can work with. He's the master surgeon, and he does surgery on all of our lives. And stop and think of this, all surgery is painful. But I know in my own case so many times with cancer, these good surgeons went in, oh, it hurt. And it was a lot painful afterwards, but the cancer was gone. And sometimes our cancers are not only physical, they're spiritual, maybe emotional, physical, psychological. And our God knows exactly what we need. He is the divine physician. And so when I stop and think where he has sent me, what he has done in my life through my weaknesses, through my, you know, taking somebody like me and using me as one of his instruments. And so like any good physician, any medical professional, any good surgeon, he has to have all of his instruments sterilized cleansed, purified. Otherwise, the people that were operated on would get all kinds of infections and diseases if they weren't. And I don't know why I'm thinking about that right now, but I am. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the only way that we can be cleansed and sterilized, ready to be used by the master's hand, the master surgeon, is by staying close to the sacramental life of the church, by trying to be open to really search our hearts and our souls and examine our conscience every time we go to confession. Not just go in with our list, but really, what is it within me that I need to offer to the Lord? What is it within me that stifles me from being all that I can be and all that God calls me to be? How have I sinned against my God and my brothers and sisters? And so when we do that, we have a good sense of what we need to bring to confession. And then through the gift of absolution, persona Christi, through the Jesus giving us a beautiful gift through the priest, not only hearing our confession, but telling us to go, that we are free, that he's healed us. And time again, you know, I think of the confessional. You know, you sort of have to bend down to most confessionals, bend down and get in and kneel down, which is a real sense of a show and tell to me about being humble, bowing down into the confessional on your knees before the priest. And through that beautiful gift of persona Christi, speaking to Jesus, heart to heart, soul to soul, then he tells us, your sins are forgiven. I absolve you, the priest says, not in his name. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and sin no more. Make a good act of contrition. Do we realize the magnificent gift that Mother Church offers us? Because Jesus really never wanted to ever be separated from us. So he tells us, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Even till the end of time, he says. Isn't that amazing? The only way he could do that is through the gift of priesthood. The priests that are truly, absolutely configured into the priest, the high priest. And then through that gift of transubstantiation, he is with us everywhere, at every single moment, in every single continent on the earth, every single church all over the world. He's present. And that's how he is with us. Think about it. I am with you always, even till the end of the age. World without end, I will be with you. How? How? Through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And yes, many people can say that are not Catholic, well, I just say, I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm forgiven. But you know, even St. Paul, who are Protestant brothers and sisters, will tell you unequivocally, truthfully, St. Paul was the greatest preacher ever walked the earth. Obviously, meaning as a preacher of the gospel. Jesus is God. Obviously, he was the greatest preacher and teacher on earth. But he was fully human. Remember that. And fully alive in his Godhead. Fully human and fully God. That hyperstatic union. But St. Paul, considered the greatest preacher. And what did he say in the Gospels? Which I share with my non-Catholic brothers and sisters who I love so much. And I share with them openly, not to argue the gospel. God doesn't want us to argue the gospel. He wants to bring us all together to be one. He wants us to, the desire of the Father's heart is that there would be one shepherd and one church. And so for us, you know, when we hear somebody say, well, I don't need all that. I don't need no priest. I just go right to God. But again, as one of my best friends, Paul Brady, said one time as he was talking to someone, and that's what they told him, and he said, yeah, that's true. But do you ever hear the words, your sins are forgiven? Go and sin no more. You've been absolved from your sins. That is the greatest gift of healing. The power, the mystery in that sacrament. So he feeds us and nourishes us with his own body and blood. He heals us and delivers us, sanctifies us through the sacrament of penance so that we can be reconciled with Jesus every day, every moment, as with our brothers and sisters. So I just really and truly feel we need to stay close to the sacramental life of the church, particularly in these days when the gates of hell have been left loose and they're trying to tear down, the demons are out there, they're trying to tear down every family, separate them, pit one against the other. That's what the scriptures say in the last days. This is what's going to happen. Even family members, one against the other. But we know that he left us the sacramental life of the church, that we can be renewed, delivered, healed, refreshed, strengthened when we are weak, time and time again, to be all that he calls us to be, to get out there and share the good news that Jesus Christ is not only Lord and Savior, but he's the best friend we ever had, and that he would have not one soul lost. He gives us that free will. We're built to last forever, and we're going to be in eternity. Where we go, it gives us free will. It's our decision, but we'll live it in eternity. And we have to remember and never forget that while we were here walking on earth, we are his mystical body. We are his hands, his feet, his voice. When I lay my hands on somebody, I remind myself every time, Lord, let your hands and your power come through my hands as I go and do what you tell me to lay my hands upon the sick. That my words would be anointed, that I might speak under the power and the influence and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what will change hearts. Knowing and believing without exception that we are all called to be His instruments, to be purified, to be sanctified from the inside out through these gifts that were left to us. Think of in the upper room, the first Eucharist at the Last Supper, when Jesus came right through the walls, even though it was all locked and doors locked, and He came right in their midst. And He gave them the beautiful gifts of the Eucharist. Confession. What you held bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, He said to the apostles, will be loosed in heaven. Can't be any clearer than that. Eat my body and drink my blood. If you don't, there will be no, I will not have, my life will not be in you. So stay close to the sacramental life of the church and go out and do a mighty work in God's name. It doesn't depend on us at all. We have to rely on Him in us, working through us, those instruments in the hand of our Savior. When I get back, I'm going to read the gospel. I didn't realize I was going on so long about this. But I don't want you to go away. I'll be right back. I love you. And I mean it.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, I want to praise God. We're back again. Caroline Lowe, Giuseppe P., Marie Pastorino, Melanie, Carmen, good to have you aboard. Prank, Angel McCarthy, and I want to share with you. I'm going to read the gospel, which I do on every Thursday, and break it down, and try to get you a message that you can take with you. But I just looked at my some of the people that are posting on my live chat, and when I tell you, my heart rejoiced so much. Because I'm looking down here, and my beautiful great-granddaughter, I'm looking, she's in college, and I see her on this program watching it, Alana McCarthy, and she says, I love you, Gigi. That made my heart rejoice. Now, if I can rejoice and I got Spirit all, Holy Spirit all over me, if I can, my heart can rejoice by just looking at, I love you, Gigi. How much more can God feel when in the midst of our crazy busy days and we stop and we take a moment to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you. When we take a minute to pray, to be still and know that he's God, what do you think? It just hit me. I can't even imagine what God thinks when his children turn to him. I look down here and see my great-granddaughter, and I think that's the first time she's been on this. It's my granddaughter Cody's, my son Jimmy, and my daughter-in-law Alice. It's their, Cody is their daughter, and Elena is Cody's daughter. And if my heart rejoiced like that, it just hit me. How must God feel when he's looking down at us, smiling, watching us take a moment just to say, I love you, Jesus. It just hit me like a real tremendous enlightenment of God's love for us. So I love you back with all my heart, Alana. You know that. She's absolutely beautiful. You've seen her picture on Facebook, but with all the grandchildren, you probably don't know which one she is. I'm going to open the gospel and just praising, thanking God for each and every one of you. You are my team of evangelists. And I know I put you to work a lot. I'm going to read the gospel today. And reminding everybody, in case you just got out of work or in case you just tuned in, I want to remind you that I have a problem with some of my equipment here. And as of last Tuesday, we cannot take any calls. The part has been ordered by a beautiful servant of God. George Schrems is my computer guy, and he devotes his time. He will not take a penny. So pray, please, for a blessing on his business. His name is George Schrems, and I love him dearly. But at any rate, they were here working on it. They think they found the problem. They said, you know, this is so old, Kathleen. That's probably when it is burned out. So they ordered the part, and it should be in by Wednesday. So I probably still won't be up for receiving your phone calls while I'm broadcasting until Thursday. So hang in there. I'm going to read the gospel now today, today's gospel. And this is from the Gospel of Luke 4:14 to 22. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues. He was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled it and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all who spoke highly of him were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And that's today's gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, this happens to be one of my own favorites. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You and I, by virtue of our baptism, we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. You and I, every single one of us, have the Spirit of the Lord upon us, working in us and through us. You too, Elena, every single one of us, your mom, Cody, every single one, my Jimmy and Alice, all my children, all my spiritual children, all of you who are listening over the airways or listening today on this live podcast, live streaming of my program. We've been anointed. And do we really know the full power in what has happened here? Is Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He sent me to proclaim to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free. You and I, he left us that beautiful anointing of the Holy Spirit. These gifts of his are in us. They're not of us. They're in us, and they're of him. And he wants to remember that we have the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And yes, yes, there are so many evil things happening in the world today. Brother against brother, families against one another. The evil, they're out there trying to tear down families, destroy the very image of a Trinity, a husband and a wife, coming together in love and producing the fruit of the womb, their children. That's a beautiful sign of the Trinity, and they hate it. They hate Our Lady. They hate the Blessed Mother. They hate it because she's like them. She's not God. She's not divine in any way, shape, or form. Why was she chosen, the scriptures say, in the fullness of time? The fullness of time. It means God was looking for a darn long time. He says in the fullness of time, he chose Mary, a virgin, to be the instrument he would use through the power, the overpowering of the Holy Spirit, to bring the Savior of the world through a woman, Mary. Mary, Queen of heaven and earth. The Queen always has the King's ear. I said that today with the man I prayed over. We don't adore her. We don't glorify her. We love her. We honor her. We revere her. Why? Because in the fullness of time, God the Father himself found her to be the very person to be the mother of his son. And all those times that he was searching all over, in the fullness of the time, he found Mary. And she is blessed. And she said it. She prophesied it herself. In the Annunciation, all ages to come, she said, will call me blessed. That's why we call her our Blessed Mother. But there's nothing divine about her. Nothing. She did the will of God. She was the instrument God chose to bring salvation to the world. That was her role, bringing Jesus to the role, to the world, to save us. But today, our role, since he went back to the Father and ascended back to heaven, her role now is to bring us all to her Son Jesus through her. It's important to recognize that. We don't ask her to go do anything, or we ask her to pray with us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray with us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We don't glorify her. We don't adore her. We don't treat her like deity. And if we do, we got the message wrong. We love her because Jesus loved her as his mother. People say to me, well, I don't believe in Mary's anything more special than anybody else. And you Catholics are wrong. I say, well, I'm not going to argue that. You tell him you don't like his mother. Enough said. I said, you go tell Jesus you don't like his mother. Who gave her yes, probably when all of heaven held their breath, to see what she was going to say, because she had free will. She's like you and she's like me. She could have said no, and God would have chose a different way. But no, she said yes. Let it be done to me according to his word. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. That's what she said to the angel. That was her response. Let it be done to me according to his word. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And he says, holy is his name. She doesn't say holy is her name. So here we are in this gospel. And he's telling the people there that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and he has anointed him. You and I, through virtue of our baptism now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and I. Blessed, the scriptures say, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you bring good news? If we're always complaining, we're not really bringing good news. And if we're always looking at everything that's going wrong in our life, we're not a good witness. I remember 50 years ago reading a book by a preacher, an excellent preacher. And he was a non-Catholic. And he said, hey, Christians, notify your face that you experience joy in the Lord. Do we look like being a Christian is something that we've been given such a magnificent gift about? Whatever is happening in our lives, and I say it all the time, at every retreat I ever give, I did a retreat for young people, and I told them, do you know that you are the young leaders in the church? It's you. You're the call to go out. You're called to be part of that mystical body of Christ. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is upon you to bring the good news of the gospel. I used to say in the beginning of my ministry, and I say it today, we are called through our baptism. You and I have been called to go preach, teach, heal, and deliver. It isn't just something nice that happened. If it happened and we're not using those gifts, what's happening under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Nothing. It's under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And just like us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He is anointing us day in, day out. He's encouraging us. He's breathing that ruah, the breath of the Spirit. He's breathing that into us every moment of every day. He's fanning that fire of the Holy Spirit in us. And sometimes it's just down to a simmering little, you know, embers burning. And then when we realize, Lord, I can't do this without you. And you turn to him and you say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Allow me to understand the amazing truth that that your Spirit is upon me, that you are still anointing each one today to go out and proclaim this, to bring the good news of the gospel, to set into liberty to the captives, those that are held bound, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. That's all those things that, you know, when the enemy comes, try to rob, to steal, destroy, takes a beautiful life and tries to turn it into something less than that. He tries to destroy it. But Jesus said, hey, the enemy cannot do anything without allowing the Lord to say he can or cannot do something. That's in the scripture. It's God's word, not mine. And so whatever is going on in our lives, instead of complaining about all the things that are wrong and complaining about this cross we're carrying and we drag it instead of pick it up and carry it, when we go out and know the anointing we have on us, who suffered more than Jesus? He was telling us that in our day, when he went back to the Father, he would leave us his Holy Spirit, that we will never, ever be alone. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us, so that we, too, can go out and proclaim liberty to the captives. That means all those that are held bound by sin, by addiction, all the sexual sins that are committed today, all the different horrific sins that are coming against Christianity, against true believers of our one God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, trying to destroy that. God is pouring out and anointing us today with his Spirit that we can go out and tell our stories. This is where I was, but through the grace of God, this is where I am now. He's healed me. He set me free. He's delivered me. He's empowered me. He's given me the gifts to go out and to lay my hands upon the sick and to open the eyes of the blind, to let the deaf hear, those that can't walk, those that have lost freedom of their bodily, he can restore them. Okay, so some of us don't have the faith to really understand that and believe it. We have to remember that it's not us. That for one reason or another, he will heal. He has given us that power. It's his power because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. That fire of the Spirit is alive in you and I. We just have heard, have we not, when they thought John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not even fit to untie his sandals when I come. Because they said, you're baptizing with water. He said, but when he comes, the Messiah, the anointed one, when he comes, he will baptize in water and fire. You and I, honey, we've been baptized in water, but also in fire, to go out into the world and to allow those sparks of flames of God's love coming out of our hearts to ignite a fire in the hearts of others. That's how the world's going to change. It's from you using your gifts, from believing that you've been that empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit to go out and do the same work that Jesus was sent to do. And he sends us out anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, gifted by the power of the Holy Spirit to be his mystical body on earth. Why bother have a mystical body on earth unless we can show the world that we are Christians by our love for one another? If anybody looks at the world today, they'd have to be shaking their head, say they don't even love one another. We have enough trouble in this world today. We shouldn't be fighting, and, you know, with people that are like-minded. We have to come together, be of one mind, one heart, one spirit, and stand together in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out, to be his instruments, so that he can heal the sick, What does he all tell us in Scripture? He sends his apostles out, then he sends his disciples out, and then he sends 72 more out, and then he's sending them to this day through virtue of our baptism. He sends us all out. Heal the sick. Proclaim liberty to those who are hell bound. Set the captives free. I'm giving you the grace and power through the sacramental life of the church for them to be delivered. This is who we are. Let us never, ever forget that what it means to be a child of the Most High God. And we're, you know, we have to remember God's ageless. We're babies in the spirit. It's like the medical field. I believe 100% in medicine. But they're on the tiny tip of the medicine of God. They're learning. They're still learning. Like when I was a kid, there was no hope if you had polio. Today, these things progress. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment. But God is all and all. He is all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding, all power. And that's what he gives to us. He gives it to us freely. We can't own it through virtue of our baptism. He empowers us to be his voice, to go out and tell our stories. Let other people see that he is alive. He is with his church. He is working through his people. How? Through the anointing. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit working in us. Remember, the Holy Spirit isn't a bird. It's not a dove. It was a symbol that they used in the scriptures to be able to give a sense of what his work was. He's God. There's not more of one God in the first person than there is in the third person. He's God. Holy Spirit is God. And he dwells within us. And he wants us to use the gifts that he's given us to go out into the world and make a difference. I always say you have to fight fire with fire. You have to fight the fires of hell with the fire of the Holy Spirit. We win. Will we suffer? Yes. Will there be trials and tribulations? Yes. They're going to happen anyway. But he has equipped us for every good work to overcome the enemy. The enemy has to ask permission to do anything. But God, he works it all together for a greater good, just like Job. Can I do this? He allowed it to happen. Can I do that? He's going to curse you. I'm going to show you. He's going to curse you. God says, you can tempt him. He never cursed him. He said, can I take his life? And the Lord said, no, you cannot take Job's life. And instead, everything that was taken from him, God restored it 100-fold. God works everything together in my people for a greater good. Whatever we're going through in our lives, look back in your own life. Look back when you thought you couldn't get through a rough time, a struggling time in your life, when you thought like you're not worthy that God should love you the way he does. And through the grace of God, how he enlightened your mind, your heart, and your spirit. That someone touched your life in such a way. I always tell people, write it down. If somebody impacted your life so powerfully that stirred the Holy Spirit up in you to go out there into the world and make disciples, remember who they are, pray for them, and write their name down and the time of your visitation that you were anointed and accepted that anointing to be his voice. His hands, his feet, and above all his heart, a heart of mercy, a heart of love, a heart of goodness. My brothers and sisters, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for God has called you by name. And he has a work for each and every one of us to do. And there is not one person gifted more than another. You know why? Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God, not a bird, but a person, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, is he at work in us. We carry him wherever we go. And it is him that activates all these things in our life. Activates the word of God in us. Activate the healing touch in us. Activates wisdom and knowledge and discernment and discerning of spirits. All these things. That's what this gospel's about. He has anointed us. It wasn't just the apostles, he tells them. Then he went to he anointed all the disciples. And then he had them go out. And then he had 72 more go out. And he's still sending them out today through baptism. Through the baptism of being come. No more, before Baptists were like pagans. But once we're baptized into Christ, we are anointed. We're set apart. We're filled with the fire of the Spirit. And his words, activated, coming out of our mouth, will make a difference in the hearts of people. What's he tell us? If you ever get caught, and you will be drug in, and there's days it was the Sadducees and Pharisees, and we'll be brought in the court. But he says, don't even worry about what you have to say. Don't even worry. Don't fret. For I will give you the words to speak at the right time. This is our God, and we will be set free. Let's get busy. Let's get out there. And let's set the world on fire with God's love. What happens with fire? It consumes the very things when something has been ignited. We need to be consumed into the very person of Jesus Christ, that we would decrease and he would increase within us. And when our time comes, in God's perfect timing, that he could look at us, say, welcome home, good and faithful child of the living God. Good, welcome home, good and faithful servant. Father John McFadden was one of my beloved friends for so many years. I couldn't even think of one thing to write in his, the legacy thing of memory, because there's so many. He's a man that touched so many lives and spent his life saving, trying to save all the aborted babies from being aborted. Rain, sleet, snow, he was out there. I'm sure he heard those words. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. And John's not dead. Father John's not dead. He's alive. Because you and I were built for eternity. So God bless you. That's my message today as I break the gospel down. I hope it set your heart on fire, because it just set my heart on fire too. God bless you. I love you. And I mean it.